This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you on another Saturday afternoon to our program that we've called for many years, Raising the Standard. We're honored to be a part of WCNO Radio and what they're doing up and down the Treasure Coast. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We do a lot of things with the Jewish roots and the understanding that we need, that we got from the very beginning in the book. And a lot of it's been laid aside, and we try to bring that knowledge to you today to understand the depth. This book I have in front of me, it's a living word. There's so much in it that has not been revealed that will be. But we thank you for what has been revealed. And you said the secret things of God belong to Him, but the things that have been revealed are for us and for our children, that we might keep the Torah. And so we thank you for the privilege to release that. So we greet all you listeners. I know there's probably somebody listening right now. This is the very first time you've ever listened to this program. And we've been on now for a lot of years. But we welcome you. We greet you. We hope you're blessed, not because of Don and I or Bob or Margie that's here with us, but because it's going to be the things that comes out of the Word of God. And we know this is truth, and truth will not set you free. It will make us free. And so that's what we're accomplishing on the program. We do a lot of it, and we've done it for many years. And some things you find out as you go along, you know, that maybe you haven't ever taught before, that needs to be taught. I've taught a lot of it in church, but not necessarily on the radio. But we got people listening. We want to greet Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. I know they listen. We love them so much, and they're doing a great work over there. And also thinking about Daryl and Judy McCray up in the Carolinas. They're praying for us, and a lot of other people around the country's praying for us. And so we thank you for all the prayers, and we're going to continue to accomplish to the best of our ability what you'd have us to do this day and this hour. And so stay tuned for the whole program if you can. If you can't, well, we do offer CDs. All we ask for is a love offering. You just ask the Lord what He'd have you to give, and make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. And Donnie, tell them about our Shabbat services on...
Okay. I want to say hello also to Roscoe and Audrey, and to mention that they are starting to put the roof on.
That's
There's
right.
some boards up on the roof already. So praise God for that. And if anyone would like
pray
to
pray for his safety.
Safety. Pray for their safety and for help. They need help. And also pray that for the finances. And if you'd like to help out with the finances, or give us a call, and we would be blessed to give them every single penny that comes in. Glory to God.
Yes.
So because they're on Andros Island in the Bahamas, and teaching the prophetic word.
Yes.
And having Shabbat on Saturday and Sunday and prayer meetings, and just, you know, have the temple of God over there.
We're honored to be a part of them.
Yes, we are. Amen. I want to mention also that we do have, you said, Shabbat today at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to come to Shabbat, that's at 2 o'clock at this afternoon on Saturday at the Alliance Church. And that is at 4... I forgot the address.
445 Southeast.
Southeast Osceola Street.
Street. You got it.
Amen. Osceola, that's right next to the hospital on the near the river. Right. So come on over there and join us for Shabbat this afternoon. Amen. Glory to God. I'll mention our telephone number if you'd like to give us a phone call. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Also want to mention, Pastor Gene, that we're on Facebook, so you can hear this teaching again. You can go to Pastor Gene's Facebook, Gene Hilton, Pastor Gene Hilton, or you can go to Gene-Donna Hilton, and you'd be able to see this program. Amen? We're here at the radio station at WCNO, and we just thank the Lord for WCNO that we are able to do this. Amen?
Yes, to be a part of it.
Glory to God.
So hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. So this is a labor of love many times for us. And I was thinking this week, I thought of a scripture that we quote quite often, that God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I want you to know he believes that for, and he wants that for all the Jewish people as well. And so I was thinking this week of all the foreshadows we have in the first covenant about God hiding away Israel. And the only reason that he would want to do that is because that means that they love God and they're going to believe that his son, the Messiah, came for them. If they would accept the Messiah, they won't go through this terrible time. Mm-hmm. And so I got some scriptures on this, and I'm going to share with you and talk about it a little bit. But I got thinking about Israel, you know. If we read over Leviticus chapter 26, they failed God. They failed 70 times to keep the Sabbath of the land. So that's 70 times 7 is what? 490 years they failed to keep the Sabbath of the land. And God wasn't too happy with that. And so here's us 490 years. And God used that in Daniel's prophecy over there in Daniel chapter 9, how we come up with that. And we know that 483 years has already been accomplished. And now we're waiting for that last week of years, the 7 years, which is known as Jacob's trouble. And so, you know, I don't like to call it the tribulation. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's not a time for the church. If you're a believer in Christ, it's a time for the nation of Israel. That's what those 7 years are going to be all about. And so I want to look at some things with you and think about what, you know, they have an opportunity. And there's more coming today than ever before. And I want to look at some scriptures and just show you God's foreshadow showing that God has a plan for them to be hid as well. If you'll go with me to Psalms chapter 27, I'm going to read two verses here. And I'm going to start in verse 4. Psalm of David. One thing, he says, have I learned or desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And that don't mean just here on this earth. It means for eternity. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now here's the key verse. This is a foreshadow about them having an opportunity to be hidden. For in the time of trouble, this is referring to Jacob's trouble for Israel. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me, hear this, in his pavilion. Where's that going to be? In heaven? In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. So here we have an indication of something that God wants to do in this area as well, to hide them away during this time. Now, the next verse the Lord showed me was over in the book of Isaiah. If we'll go over there to chapter 26, this won't be very long. And so Margie's got some things to share, and I'm sure my wife does. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. This is a powerful chapter, things that Isaiah had written. Hallelujah. Just catching my eye here is the first four verses of 26. In that day, means the day of the Lord, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. This word salvation is where we get the word Yeshua from. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. So we have to be righteous. Well, there's no righteousness within us individually, right? So where does it come from? It comes from joining up with our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, and we have his righteousness imputed unto us because we believe in what he came to do for us. Verse 3, that will keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. In fact, the Hebrews says that will keep him in perfect peace. It says it twice, perfect peace, twice, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord, in the Lord, forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. Now we go all through this chapter and you find out what Isaiah is talking about in the last days and all that. But I want to go down to verse 19. Let's read this. Isaiah speaking here. He says, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, that for thy dew is on, as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now he's talking about death and resurrection. Yes. But these next two verses are very important. Verse 26 is going to refer us to a time called trumpets, which we're going to be coming up on very shortly. We're almost through the month of Av, we're going to get into the month of Elul, and then we're going to come to trumpets. And then verse 21 takes us out to the Day of Atonement. And you know, if you listen to us over the years, on trumpets, that's when the books are open and God judges us and the world. I'm talking about those that don't know the Messiah. And then they have 10 days at the end, what? To get right with the Lord, and their fate is sealed on the Day of Atonement. So look at verse 20. I think Isaiah makes it clear. He says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself. You know, trumpets is called a day of hiding. Mm. As it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. The word indignation is another word used over and over in the first covenant referring to Jacob's trouble. So I'm going to read that again. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. So this is a trumpet scripture, and I'm believing that a lot of the Jews are going to come this year. And then the next verse, he jumps out 10 days and takes us to the conclusion of this on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So here's another foreshadow of all this with Isaiah. Now look at Isaiah chapter 57 with me. Isaiah chapter 57. There's one verse that's caught my eye for years, and I did a study on this years ago. And it's the very first verse. It says this, the righteous perish, and no man lay it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. This word perish right here means to be taken away, to be caught away. There's another pattern of this. The righteous will be what? The righteous perisheth. No one considers it. No man layeth it to heart. And be serious. The Jews need to be serious about this. And merciful men, what? Are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. So what's the evil to come? It's going to be this time called Jacob's trouble. And we got something to go along with this. If we go over to Micah now, go over to the book of Micah, that fits, this is just another verse that backs this up in chapter 7. We'll see the same thing over here if we look at this real close. I'm going to start in chapter 7, verse 1. Now listen, we got the same terminology. Woe is me, the prophet said, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There's no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Now look at verse 2. The good man, the godly man, in other words, is perished out of the earth. He's disappeared. And there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. So here's the same thing related to we talked about in Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 1 over there. It's very interesting, isn't it? Huh?
Yes.
Now, the other thing I was looking at this week, and this is very key, is in the book of Zephaniah. If we go to Zephaniah, you know, they call these the little prophets. The book might be little, but the prophets were certainly not little. I got news for them. Amen. Mm. Hallelujah. Zephaniah chapter 2. Now, I don't see how a Jewish person could read this and not understand what God's trying to convey to them at this time, that God has a plan for them. He doesn't want, you know, his desire is not a single Jew would go through Jacob's trouble. He wants them to accept the Messiah, and they won't have to go through that, will they? But he knows there's a number that won't do it. But my desire is that they would come, you know. And listen to this, verse chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. They're not desirous of what God wants. And he's not too happy with them. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. So when is that? It's going to be during Jacob's trouble. Now look at verse 3. This is a feast of trumpets. Scripture again now. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought what? His judgment. Seek what? Righteousness. Seek meekness. Now listen to this. It may. That's an if.
Yes.
It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So when is that going to be? During Jacob's trouble. We just read that over in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So his desire right there, he says, that you may be hid. In fact, Zephaniah's name in the Hebrew means what? God hides. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever look up all the Hebrew names of the prophets and what they mean? Here's Habakkuk. I just opened up to Habakkuk. The one... it means one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can't make it out with my glasses. The one who am. Can you read that, honey? Read my note right there after Habakkuk.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
I can't see it with these glasses.
The one who.
You can't read it either, huh?
Okay. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
The one who embraces it, looks
embraces?
Like. Yeah. Now, look, I'm going to just flip over to the book of Nahum now. His name means comfort for the consolation. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You could go on and on with all these names and understand... It gives you a clue about these men's lives and all. We know what Jonah means. His name means what? Dove, huh? Micah. Who is like God, huh? That's what that says. Obadiah, worshiper of God. Jonah means dove. We could go on and on through all this, you know? And you can see the importance of their names and what it's all about. I'm in the book of Amos now. Amos means what? Burden bearer.
Mm.
And then we go to the book of Joel. I'm going backwards in the Bible. That's all right. Joel, huh? Jehovah, or Yahweh, is what? Is God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. And then we have Hosea. We go to Hosea, the beginning of Hosea. The names are so important. His name means what? Salvation. We go on and on and on and on.
Did you tell him what Zephaniah meant?
Yeah, we did. It means God hides.
God hides.
God hides. That's what it's all about.
Hides.
So his purpose is he wants to hide everyone from this terrible time that's going to come upon the earth. He's not willing that one would perish, but all would come to repentance. So it would require the Jewish people to come. They would have to what? Repent and come to the Messiah and realize they made a mistake and they rejected his first visitation that he came. But today they could receive him. And what would happen? They would be in the kingdom of God. And they wouldn't go through this terrible time of Jacob's trouble. But God knows there's going to be a certain number that will not accept that. And what will happen? They'll have to go through the Jacob's trouble, whether they like it or not. And it is a troubling time. We know that. But we as believers, I hope you believe this, we're going to be snatched out of here on one Rosh Hashanah, I believe. in 1 year and in the near future. Could it be this year? We're getting close to it again this year. We don't know. But 1 year is going to be the real thing. And so we keep these things in mind as we teach these things. We hope that maybe we can, if we work with a Jewish person or somebody that you know that you've had contact with that's Jewish, maybe you could share something from this that would draw them to the Messiah. I used to work with a guy that was Jewish, and he only went to the synagogue on the Day of Atonement and Passover. It's the only time he went. And he came in one day and he says, Gene, tell me about this book, Job. Well, who was Job? So, you know, he didn't even know the name of the books.
Job,
yeah. And so...
I'm sure a lot of people have made that little error.
That's right.
When you first read the Bible, you know, yeah, who is Job? Who's Job?
Yeah. But God has so much planned for them. I'm going to go back over to the book of Joel with you for a moment here.
Okay.
I like Hosea and Joel a lot, boy. I like them, the things they have to say here. Look at chapter 2, verse 32. And this basically is quoted also in the New Testament. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, are we whosoever's listening,
yes,
on the radio and with us?
Yes.
Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from hell and delivered from your sins. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, so the as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You notice it says a remnant? There's going to be a remnant that will call. He's going to call. If we go over to, I'm going to go over starting verse, I was going to back up here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. The Jews should take heed to this. This is a trumpet scripture again, okay? Now we go over to verse 12. Therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. See, this is talking about trumpets. Who are we going to turn to? To Yeshua. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return? This is talking about God. And repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now, verse 15, blow the trumpet or the shofar in Zion. Sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. Well, what's he talking about? Now we're talking about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It goes on, it says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck breast. Let the bridegroom, hear this, the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. This is talking about the very end. Amen?
Yes.
Now, if we go over to, or I'll keep your finger there, I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 19 with you for a moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Revelation.
Let's talk about the catching away.
We will. I just want to cover this and we will.
That's where we're leading up to,
I believe. That's what we're leading up to, yeah.
And it could be very soon.
That's right. Revelation 19, verse 7 says this, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. To who? To the Messiah. For the marriage, means the marriage supper, of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now these other translations, they say the bride. This is, when you get to heaven, we're going to become a wife, okay? Didn't we just read this over here? The bridegroom, he went forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. The joining together here at the end and leading up to this time we're talking about the very last day of this age that we know before trumpets comes at the end of our life and the end of this dispensation that we're in. And then we're going to go into this time called Jacob's trouble. But if you believe in the Messiah, you won't be here. I hope you all believe that. We're going to be caught away. Do you believe the Bible or do you not? I hear it taught so many different ways. But, you know, if you study it out, we're not going to be here. We're going to be gone. And I've even heard people talking about the false Messiah. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it quite clear that he will not appear to be known by anybody until the church is gone. We're the restraining force in this world right now, is the Holy Ghost within us to bring in righteousness and the things as much as possible to do the things that are right. And so we got to lead people to that understanding, to know that one day there's going to be an accountability. Either you've received the Messiah or you haven't. And the ones that don't, what's going to happen to them? They're lost. They're lost for eternity. And it makes it sad, you know?
Yes.
Makes me sad.
Yes.
And I've heard people teach about the Jewish people that they're going to be saved regardless because of the first covenant. Well, Jesus made it quite clear that no man, no one comes to the Father except by Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He makes that clear. And no one can come to the Father except by Him. So this relates to, you know, all these people that's already lived. I'm looking through my Bible. They have lived and died. They're going to be judged by the righteous walk that they had with God. That's how they'll be judged, okay? They didn't know the Messiah, but they knew there was going to be one come. But once He came, what happened? They rejected Him. They've missed the visitation. And God wants them to escape this time on the earth. And I believe He wants every single Jewish person not to have to go through this time. But because of men's doubt and unbelief, go read Leviticus chapter 26, because of all the things that they did. It was contrary with, you know, the Sabbath of the land. They couldn't even honor that. They disobeyed God. So everything boiled down to what? Disobedience.
Yes.
We talked about that a lot. If you read Deuteronomy, what happens at the end? He says, today I'm going to set before you what? Life and death. You choose. Well, they could have chose life, and we see the blessings over there that life would have brought. But what happened? They chose death, and you look at the results of that death, all the things that's going to happen to them, and that's where they are today. They're scattered all over the world. There are a hiss and a mocking. People hate them. We got people in our Congress that hate the Jewish people. You know, they're in our Congress in America, and they're our best ally we've ever had. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. And so, how do we convince them? All we can do is give them the truth from the Word of God, not what we think, but what the Bible says. And Islam is not the answer. I got news for you. Allah never did anything at all. In fact, I wrote some things in my Bible one time. Do you know what Muhammad's name means? Anybody here know what his name means? It means the praised one. Uh-huh. And did you know that he never once visited Jerusalem? He supposedly had a visitation in a dream or whatever. What does Islam mean? It means submission. How about Allah? It's the moon god. Do we worship the moon? No. And then how about the Mahdi, which is their example of a Messiah? He's called the guided one. So we have a perversion, don't we? And a lot of people have drifted into that. Look how many Christians grew up and they've converted now to the Islamic faith. It makes my heart break. How could you give up Jesus Christ for some false thing that they're teaching today? But God wants you on the radio that's listening to know the truth, that all you have to do to escape all this time that's about to come up on the earth is to allow the Messiah. Don't make it just lip service, but let it come from the heart that you really want Him in your life, and He's the only answer you have for salvation. There's no other way to get saved. There's, you know, I hear, you know, like Oprah on TV, she acts like there's 10 or 12 different ways to get to God. There's not. There's only one way to get to God the Father, and it's through His Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. There's no other way. And so we have to be sincere with that and present that. He is the only way. He's the answer to everything. And so we have to understand that. And His hope for all of us is that none of us, not a one, would perish. But if we don't come to the Messiah, what's going to happen? We're going to be lost and we will perish. But He's not willing that one would perish, but all would come to repentance. That means we have to repent and think a new way about this man called Jesus or Yeshua. He came for the whole world, didn't He? Let's look at this. Go to John with me, chapter 3, for a moment. This will be like we're having an invitation here, amen?
Yes, amen.
To the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, but as you're going there, those Old Testament saints, they had to come by faith, didn't they?
They sure did.
Faith and believing and obedience.
That's right.
And repentance, and, you know, because many of them made mistakes, but you think about David. David is in the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Because he loved God.
And he walked by faith.
And he walked by faith.
You notice it was by repentance, wasn't it? He did three terrible sins. But after all that happened and he got before God, what did God say about him? He was a man after my own heart. Now in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, listen to this. And Moses lifted up, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, hear this, believeth in who? In him. Who's the him? Yeshua, Jesus, should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Now, we always hear about 3:16, but let's look at the one after that as well. But verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, are you a whosoever listening today? If you don't have him, well, you can come into the kingdom of God by invitation on your part. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. That's the answer for everything. We need him more than our next breath. But how do you convince the world of that? Well, we have a hard time, but we're going to continue to preach, teach, and declare it, that we must have the Messiah in our life. And he loves us so much.
Read verse 18.
That's right. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
So that's where the Jewish people are right now.
That's where they are right now.
And now, there's many, though, that are coming to Messiah, and there's many Messianic congregations that do believe in Jesus,
right.
Yeshua HaMashiach, as their Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And many in Israel as well. There's many, many Messianic congregations
that believe in the Messiah.
And of course, they are ridiculed by some of the Jewish people, but there are many that are coming. There's many rabbis who are really delving into
the Word
of God and believing, because we are in the last days.
We sure are. When I was in Israel, I got to go up to Carmel, and I went to David Davies. He passed away now, but the church is still gone. It's up on a mountain and up there. Where Elijah was at, and what a beautiful place. And so they're touching Jews, the Muslims, the Arabs, they touch them all. And it's incredible to see what God's doing. But I was thinking also here in John 3, look at 35 and 36, the last two verses. The Father loveth the Son. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And hath given all things into his hand. Not some, but all things. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not, what? See life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. As long as you're in unbelief, the wrath of God's going to abide on you. You have to come and believe that he is your Savior. He's your Savior. You can't take away your sins by yourself. And there's no other way to get rid of it. You can't go to some priest or to a rabbi. You have to go before Christ when you fail. Amen?
Amen.
What's it say over here? Let's go to 1 John.
Yes.
Go to 1 John here, the first chapter. You can read this really close and see what the Lord had to say here. And he means it too, we know that. He didn't write anything down that he didn't mean, right?
Amen.
Starting in verse 7 of John 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, which is our Messiah, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, see, we come to the Messiah, we tell him that we're sinners, and we need a Savior. If we told one lie, we're a sinner. We confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that incredible? Mm-hmm. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us, because we've all sinned and missed what? The glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I like chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's who we turn it over to.
Man.
No man can get rid of it. You know, no man can get rid of it. Only what Christ came to do. It's amazing. So.
And that's a big word in the next verse.
That's right.
Propitiation?
Yep. It means what? He became our bloody sacrifice for your sins, yes, and not for ours only, but also for the sins, listen to this, of the whole world.
Yes.
Like when John the Baptist saw Jesus come, remember? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So he did.
Came for every person.
He's not willing that any would perish, no matter what color you are, no matter what part of the world you live in, no matter what religious background you're in, with all the paganism. He loves everybody that's on this earth, and he wants them to come to his Son.
And that's to
believe on his Son. That's the answer. And we see so much going on in other parts of the world, like in Africa and all. Like we think about Bree Keaton was just here, you know. Yes. She goes to the Pygmies. And every village that she went to as she goes over there, she has an altar call. And she has them, you know, she shares the gospel with them and has somebody interpret it. And did you know, she said, every single person holds up their hand. Every single one wants to live forever, and they want the Messiah in their life. They want Jesus Christ in their life. And it changes their whole life. They start living different. They never lived like that before. And so it turns things upside down when he comes. And that's the purpose of all of it, is to see those, you know, hard hearts softened in a moment of time and changed.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
And yield. Okay, Pastor Don, you got something you want to share there?
Well, but I believe that Bob and Margie have something to share. But
so the catching away is important.
The one thing that I want to share is I was given a brochure about a week ago, and it's about the Jewish people.
Okay.
And I didn't realize this, but it says on this brochure that 70% of the Jews in Germany escaped the impending Holocaust. So even though there were 6 million, is that how many there were?
About 6 million
That died in those camps and all those things, the terrible things that happened to them, that there were 70% of them were able to escape. Now, a lot of them didn't, but that's a miracle.
Sure.
That's a miracle. And we know that God said, he prophesied, he said that they would go to they would go everywhere throughout the whole world. And there's Jewish people on every single continent, you know, and God is calling them to come home. And he's calling the Jewish people in America to return to home.
That's right.
Because that's where their protection, that's going to be
the safest place in the world for them. Yeah.
That's it. The safest place in the world will be in Jerusalem, in Israel.
Excuse me.
And you think about it, it's a very small place. But, you know, if God's calling them home, he certainly can get all of them back there that will go. But, you know, many won't go because they're so used to what they have here, especially here in America and other prosperous countries.
Sure.
You know, they have everything. They're wealthy. You know, they're intelligent. They have businesses and everything else. So many of them won't just up and just leave everything and go back to Israel. But this is the time that he's calling them home. And you've read that scripture. He's calling them to come home, to return.
That's right, to return.
To return. And many have returned from Russia and from other places. But, you know, from this country, from America, there haven't been a lot that would return. Why? Because they're
happy where they are.
They have everything they
need. After the captivity with the Babylonians, only 50,000 of the Jews went back to Israel. Most of them wanted to stay where they're at because they had all these good things. And like, how many would leave New York today and go back to Israel, you know, if something major happened? They probably still wouldn't go because they're happy with what they have. They got all the things they need, and they got cars and nice homes and all. They would never leave that, and regardless.
It's a shame. Well, it seems like a lot of people are leaving New York and California and some of these other very, very liberal states. And, of course, many of them are coming to Florida and going to Texas. Because, you know, but they're still going to be prosperous in Texas or here in Florida. But there are some places in our country that are really, really bad. And
that's right.
And who wants to live next door to people who live in trash, you know? And that's what's going on in many of the streets in the United States of America, especially the big cities. You know, people are sleeping on the streets and doing everything else you can think of, needles and desiccating, and it's just really bad. So what's happened to our country? You would think that we were a third world country if you walk down some of the streets in America. So who has something to say there? Who's going to go first? Miss Margie's going to go first.
Just before you do that, I was going to say one thing. You know, the 6 million Jews that were killed during the Holocaust, I thought about this. You know, they stripped them down naked and took them into those chambers. And I just knowing God, how many of them at that moment knew they were going to die? And what God might have said to them.
They could have had a visitation.
They could have had a visitation.
Jesus
they
could have all, showed up.
They could have all came to Christ at that time. We don't know.
They could have, yes.
But God's merciful, you know?
Yes, he is. Because they love God.
And they weren't
Many
there because they did
God.
Anything wrong. They
no.
were there because the Germans hated them, you know?
And those children, all That's the things
right.
that they did to the
That's
people.
Right. All right, Margie.
But you know, God, because God can show... He can give them a sign.
That's right.
He can speak. The Holy Ghost can speak to them.
Who knows what was said.
Because the Holy Ghost is the one who draws us to Christ.
That's right.
So nobody comes to Christ unless the Spirit of God draws them.
Absolutely.
So just if you're listening and the Spirit of God is drawing you to Christ, just, you know, fall on your knees or just close your eyes and just ask the Lord to come into your heart. You know, just ask.
Repent,
say that
yes.
prayer. Pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins.
Of your
and
sins.
Iniquities and the things that, you know, if your life, you can't begin to name them all, most likely, because we've all sinned so many.
That's
There's
right.
no way we could. But God knows everything. Just ask him to forgive you and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And, you know, you will have, the Spirit of God will come in, and you will have, you'll be born again. It says there that we must be born from above. So you'll
That's
be
right.
born again. So I believe that, like you said, that many of those, it could have been all of those people. They
God
had a visitation.
Have shown us. That's
you
right.
Know, a visitation.
Who knows?
And
just before
and
they died,
they could have saw Jesus, and they could have, you know, just cried out.
That's
what
right.
does it say? Just call upon His name.
Yes. Call
they
upon
could
His
have
name.
Just called upon the name of Jesus
that's
or
right.
Yeshua. They certainly know this name is Yeshua. It's not, you know, that's his Hebrew name.
That's right.
Mary called him.
Yes.
Just call upon that name, and
yes,
He's
Lord.
Right there to deliver them from hell. Amen. Okay, Miss Margie.
Go ahead, Margie.
Praise the Lord. And I'm very grateful for the Holy Ghost drawing me to Yeshua and saving me. And Pastor Gene, I liked John 3:36.
Yeah.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son
That's right.
shall not see life,
mm-hmm.
but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I thank the Lord that those that do believe on him and repent of their sins and come to him will not see Jacob's trouble or the tribulation.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. So I would like to share a few scriptures
okay.
on the end times. And Isaiah 49, I'd like to go to. Verses 7 through 9. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit, the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. In Psalm 67, 3-5, let the people praise thee, O
mm-hmm.
God.
Yes.
Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. So when Jesus comes back, he will be governing, not kings and princes and presidents. It'll be God. It'll
Hallelujah.
Be Yeshua
Thank
who
God.
Will govern the world. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
With justice.
That's right.
There will be no more rulers and kings. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Psalm 76, thank you, Father.
But we will rule and reign with him.
That's
yes,
right.
We will.
Amen.
We'll be
as
with
priests.
Him.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Where are you going?
In Psalm 76. Psalm 76.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Verse 5. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven, and the earth feared and was still, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Selah.
And we think how bad it's going to be during that time. Wouldn't want to be alive.
No.
Wouldn't want to be here on earth when that happens. All that judgment comes.
Yes.
To save all of the meek.
That's right. All
yes.
the meek, yeah. The humble. Yeah.
Yes. Psalms 92 and 7.
Okay.
When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
That's right.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
He'll rule with a rod of iron, won't he? That's what it says.
In Matthew. Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is a little long. Matthew 24, 4. And Jesus answered and said,
where are you at? We're at
Matthew 24, 4.
Okay.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Yes.
For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, and in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Jacob's trouble.
Yes. And verses 27 through 36. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Yes.
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Thank you, Father. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet.
The shofar hang it all.
Yes, that's what I have here. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words
shall not
pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
That'd
I don't
be a
know
terrible
how much time,
time
that we have.
Bob might have something to share there too.
Thank you, Lord. People will change their morals, and they'll lay down or even try to change the commandments of God.
That's right.
To suit them in the day that God comes.
Yep, that's right.
They're even doing that now.
They're doing it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They want to change the Constitution.
Yes.
Only, and then they want to change things in the Bible.
So I believe that we're at the beginning, maybe moving in toward the center of end times.
Amen. Well, Bob?
Better move that mic in a little closer, Mike, so they can, Bob, so they can hear you. Okay. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've already had a good altar call here, haven't we?
Amen.
Amen.
What do you have to say, Bob?
Well, I've been thinking about authority. The authority of Christ.
Woo, that's good.
And we've talked, in previous weeks, we've talked about the authority of Christ. We talked about how Jesus, after he had been baptized by John, he was tempted, and he used the authority of the word over Satan. And immediately after that, he called his first disciples to him, and he had been preaching a message of the power of God and the coming kingdom and the repentance. And he called to Simon and his brother and said, follow me. And they dropped their nets and followed him without any question. And the same with James and John. And then, as was his custom, we're told in Luke 4 that Jesus, it was his custom to enter the synagogue on the Sabbath and to read the scriptures. And he entered the synagogue there in Capernaum, and he read the scriptures, and he the man who was demon-possessed spoke out and said, have you come to destroy us? Then that was the demons within him speaking him, and he cast them out, and the people were amazed that Jesus spoke with authority and that he had power over the demons. And in Luke 9, starting at verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons, devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrips, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whosoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust off your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, that's plural, they went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
Amen.
Jesus has given us authority as believers to heal and to have power over demons. Now, I made a mission trip to India, and I went with a group of 10 other people, and we had 10,000 pairs of glasses that we were going to give out as a means to attract people so that we could share with the gospel with them. Well, the Lord had other plans, because when we were at the airport in Bangalore, Indian customs seized all 10,000 pairs of glasses.
Oh boy.
And here we are 2 weeks in India, and we had lost our means to attract people, or so we thought. And we prayed about it, and we went to an evangelical bookstore and got pictures of Bible stories. And we went to all of the places that we had been scheduled to go to, and we held up the pictures, and we told the stories. And the first 2 days that we did that, people were interested in the stories, and they said thank you and goodbye. And on the third day, it was my turn to tell the stories, because we were rotating responsibilities. And I said to myself, you know, this is foolish not to give an invitation. And we had 600 people there listening, and we had food only for about 300, so we told half of them to go eat now, and we would feed the other half after they had eaten, and we'd prepared more food. And so with a group that was there, I told the story. And then at the end, I gave an invitation, and about half the people raised their hands. Yes, I want to know Jesus. And the and so we did that, and then I told the guy, I said, something's wrong here. All these people responding, and I says, tighten up the gospel and even more. And we spent the next hour going from person to person, laying hands and praying, and for the first time in my life, I saw people freed and released from demons. Mm-hmm. My partner was a registered nurse, 55 Kimmel, and we laid hands and prayed on one woman, and the woman let out a screech, and she collapsed on the ground. And Kimmel looked at me and said, Bob, we killed her. And I says, no, the spirit of life gives life.
Life.
And the woman stood up and started praising God.
Amen.
And
it's good.
It was quite a shock for both of us to see these things happen, and the power that had been invested in us in believers, if we would just exercise the commission that had been given to us.
All for the name of Jesus. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I wouldn't mind hearing some more stories maybe next week, Bob. But we have run out of time, so I just wanted to say we bless you all.
We already have an invitation with a message, so I don't think we need to do that
Jesus
again.
Come into your heart. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we do have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock in an hour, so come over and worship the Lord with us, because Jesus is the testimony of, amen, prophecy. So come to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries at the Alliance Church at 445 Southeast Osceola Boulevard.
Street.
Osceola Street. Amen. Right there near the river. And worship God with us. Amen. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here with you on Saturdays. We want to all say Shabbat Shalom, and Margie's going to blow the shofar. So we say Shabbat Shalom, that's Sabbath, right. Peace, and rest.
And we tell you every week as we close this program to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And know we're in these last days, that tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Go to church on Sunday or Saturday. Go to Sabbath service. And you never know, because this is the day of the Lord coming soon. Amen.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.